Chapter 6. When the girls protested their kidnapping, the army of pixies surrounded them and delivered several stings. Nursing their wounds, the girls were forced to follow the odd boy farther into the woods. "Where are you taking us?" Sabrina asked, but the boy just laughed. Soon they came to the end of the forest, where a tall fence blocked their way. Built into the fence was a door, and the boy pushed it open. The girls stepped through and found themselves standing in front of a tarp-covered swimming pool in the backyard of a two-story suburban-style house. Some pixies swirled around the tarp and lifted it off the pool, while others zipped off and returned with a rope. They stung Sabrina's arms relentlessly until she put them behind her back, and then they tied the rope around her wrists. The boy stuck the tip of his sword into Sabrina's back. He forced her onto the diving board. "You've made a terrible mistake, spy!" he shouted. "We're not spies!" Sabrina exclaimed. "Tell it to the fish!" the boy hollered, causing the little lights to make a tittering noise that sounded like laughter. Sabrina looked down at the pool and wondered how deep the water was. There was a diving board, so it had to be deep, and with her arms tied behind her, she'd certainly drown if the icy water didn't freeze her to death first. She tugged at the ropes, but each pull just tightened them around her wrists. "So, spy, would you like to repent your crimes before you meet your watery doom?" the boy asked. "What crimes?" Sabrina cried, and then took a deep breath, certain he would push her in. But after several moments, nothing happened. "The crime of trying to steal the old lady away from me," the mop-topped boy declared. "Granny?" Daphne asked from the side of the pool. "The one they call Relda Grimm." "Relda Grimm is our grandmother, and we're not trying to steal her. We're trying to save her," Sabrina shouted. "Save her?" the boy asked suspiciously. "Save her from what?" "A giant," the two girls called out together. Sabrina could sense their captor's confusion. She turned and found him talking to several of the little lights that hovered around his head. "Well, of course it makes a difference," the boy replied, annoyed. "We're trying to get home. We need to save her before it's too late," Daphne pleaded. The boy groaned and quickly untied Sabrina's wrists. "Where did this happen?" he asked. "How big was this giant?" But Sabrina didn't answer. Instead, she spun around, grabbed the boy by the shoulders, and heaved him into the pool, sending a splash of water and soggy dead leaves high into the air. The sword had slipped from the boy's hand as he fell, and with nimble fingers, Sabrina caught it. She leaped to safety on the side of the pool and waved the sword threateningly at the pixies. "You're going to let us walk out of here," she demanded. There was no movement at first, but then they flew around the pool, making a laughing sound, as if they were chuckling at their leader's misfortune. Sabrina stood dumbfounded, unsure of what to do next. A geyser of water shot high into the air, with the soaked boy riding its crest. When the water crashed back into the pool, the boy stayed aloft, several feet above Sabrina. Two huge wings had come out of his back and were flapping loudly. Oddly enough, the boy was laughing. "You think this is funny?" Sabrina exploded. She began making jabs at the boy, who flew effortlessly away from her thrusts. "A kid and a bunch of flying cockroaches kidnapping girls and threatening to kill them? That's how you losers have fun?" "Ah, we wouldn't have killed you. We were just fooling," the boy said. "Well, if you're finished with your stupid psychotic games, my sister and I have to rescue our grandmother," Sabrina declared. She took Daphne's hand and turned to leave. Elvis joined them, but Sabrina shot him an angry look. The dog had spent the entire episode sitting lazily by the pool, as if nothing peculiar were happening. The Great Dane caught her eye and whined. "You've only been in this town for 2 days, and you've already lost the old lady," the boy said bitterly as he floated into the girl's path. "We didn't lose her. She was taken by a monster as big as a mountain," Sabrina argued. Well, if you've come looking for help, you've come to the wrong place, the boy crowed. Rescuing old ladies is a job for a hero. I'm a villain of the worst kind. Good. We don't want your help, Sabrina said angrily, tossing the boy's sword aside.
I thought Peter Pan was one of the good guys, Daphne added.
The boy's face turned so red Sabrina thought his head might explode. Peter Pan? I'm not Peter Pan. I'm Puck.
Who's Puck? Daphne asked.
Who's Puck? The boy cried. I'm the most famous ever after in this town. My exploits are known around the world.
I've never heard of you, Sabrina replied.
She spun around and started walking through the yard to the street, with her sister and Elvis following. After only a couple of steps, the boy was hovering in front of them again.
You've never heard of the Trickster King? Puck asked, shocked.
The girls shook their heads.
The Prince of Fairies? Robin Goodfellow? The Imp?
Do you work for Santa?
Daphne asked.
I'm a fairy, not an elf, Puck roared. You really don't know who I am. Doesn't anyone read the classics anymore? Dozens of writers have warned the world about me. I'm in the most famous of all of William Shakespeare's plays.
I don't remember any Puck in Romeo and Juliet, Sabrina muttered, feeling a little amused at how the boy was reacting to his non-celebrity.
Besides Romeo and Juliet, Puck shouted, I'm the star of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Congratulations, Sabrina said flatly. Never read it.
Puck floated down to the ground. His wings disappeared and he spun around on his heel, transforming into a big, shaggy dog. Elvis growled at the sight of him, but Puck didn't attack. Instead, he shook himself all over, spraying the girls with water. When he was finished, he morphed back into a boy. As she wiped the water off her face, Sabrina was tempted to give the weird boy another piece of her mind, but they had wasted enough time with this Puck. She took Daphne's hand in hers once more, and together they marched down the deserted street.
I'm afraid the old lady is a goner, Puck taunted. You'll get no help from me. Like I said, I'm a villain.
Fine, Sabrina shouted back.
Fine!
Daphne turned on the boy.
You sent those pixies to attack us last night, didn't you?
Just a little fun, Puck replied. That wasn't very nice. The little girl gave him her best angry look and then turned to join her sister.
I'm a lot of things, but nice isn't one of them, the boy called after them.
Maybe we should team up with him. He could fly over the forest and spot the giant, Daphne suggested to Sabrina.
Daphne, you saw what a lunatic he is. I don't want him to ruin whatever slim chance we might have.
The path to the front door of Granny Relda's cottage seemed like a walk up a mountain, and by the time they arrived at the house, Sabrina was nearly asleep standing up. She took out Granny's key ring and felt the weight of 100 keys jingling in her hand, singing their mysteries. By the time all the locks were open, it seemed as if hours had passed. Elvis was asleep and drooling on the sidewalk, swinging his thick legs back and forth as he dreamed. As Sabrina unlocked the final lock, she turned to her sister and smiled.
That's all of them.
She twisted the knob and leaned into the door. Unfortunately, the door didn't swing open. In fact, it didn't budge at all.
What's wrong? Daphne said, sitting up.
She had been resting on the ground with her head on Elvis's warm belly.
It's jammed, Sabrina said, pushing her shoulder against the big door to force it open.
Daphne got up and walked over.
Are you sure you unlocked them all? She said.
Sabrina fumed. If she knew anything, it was how to unlock a door. They'd escaped from a dozen foster homes in the last year and a half. Locks were not Sabrina's problem. She took the cold doorknob in her hand and turned it, proving that she had unlocked it. She pushed hard, but still nothing happened.
Well, it's not opening. Maybe the back door, she said, preparing to circle the house.
You've forgotten the secret,
a familiar voice commented. Puck floated to the ground, his huge wings disappearing just as he landed.
What do you want? Sabrina demanded. I did a flyby all the way up into the mountains. I found some tracks, but no giant, Puck said. I sent some pixies to keep searching without me. Sabrina turned the doorknob angrily, hoping the door would suddenly open so she could laugh as she slammed it in Puck's face. But again, nothing happened. You have to tell the house you are home, Puck sighed. Of course. Daphne knocked on the door 3 times. We're home, she said, repeating the same words the girls had heard Granny Relda say each time they had entered the house, and turning the doorknob. The door finally swung open. How did you know that? Daphne asked Puck. The old lady and I are close. She tells me everything. Elvis immediately leaped to his feet and trotted into the house, nearly knocking over the girls on his way to the kitchen. The girls followed, and Puck pushed his way in as well, closing the door behind him. Now, I know I'm one of the bad guys, the boy said, tossing himself into the fluffy recliner in the living room. But the old lady does provide me with a meal from time to time. Not that I feel any loyalty, but if she were to get eaten by a giant, my free lunches would disappear. So, we should probably get started. We? What do you mean, we? Sabrina cried. Of course, you two will have to keep this to yourselves, the boy continued, ignoring Sabrina. I do have a reputation as the worst of the worst. If word got out that the trickster was helping the heroes, well, it would be scandalous. The girls stared at each other, dumbfounded. First things first. I want you two to prepare a hearty meal so that I will have plenty of energy to kill the giant, Puck instructed. You've got to be kidding, Sabrina groaned. The old lady always makes lunch when a mystery is afoot. I know it's not the most glamorous work, but I think you two are best suited for domestic tasks. What does domestic tasks mean? Daphne asked. The way he means it is women's work, her sister replied. Daphne snarled at the boy. Besides, as your leader, I need to save my energy for the battle, Puck insisted. Sabrina's temper boiled over. Leader? No one made you leader. No one even said they wanted your help. You may not want it, but you need it, the boy shouted back. The two of you can't even get into your own house. Do you think you'll strike fear into a giant? Maybe if you two keep shouting, the giant will come to us, Daphne said. Sabrina and Puck stared angrily at each other for a long moment. Who's hungry? Daphne said. I'm going to do some domestic tasks for myself. Sabrina was too hungry to fight any longer. Eating would clear her head. The three children raided the refrigerator and dug through the bread box, grabbing anything and everything they thought they could eat. Puck seemed to share Daphne's big appetite. Both of their plates were heaped with odd-colored food. The two also ate the same way, like hungry pigs, scarfing down anything that came close to their mouths. They were both working on seconds by the time Sabrina had made 2 Swiss cheese sandwiches and found what she hoped was just a weirdly colored apple. So, what's with the crown? Daphne asked. Puck's eyes grew wide. I'm the Prince of Fairies, Emperor of Pixies, Brownies, Hobgoblins, Elves, and Gnomes, King of Tricksters and Prank Players, Spiritual Leader to Juvenile Delinquents, Layabouts, and Bad Apples. The little girl stared at the boy with confusion in her face. I'm royalty, Puck declared. So where's your kingdom? Sabrina asked snidely. You're in it, he snapped. The forest and the trees are my kingdom. I sleep under the stars. The sky is my royal blanket. That explains the smell, Sabrina muttered. The trickster king ignored her comment and munched hungrily, tossing apple cores and whatever he couldn't eat onto the floor. A turkey bone soared from his hand and landed on a nearby windowsill. Puck, can I ask you a question? Daphne said. You bet. If you knew Shakespeare, why do you look like you're only 11 years old? This was something Sabrina had been wondering about as well. Granny's explanation that magic kept the ever-afters alive just wasn't making sense. Mayor Charming and Mr. Seven had to be hundreds of years old, yet they looked as if they hadn't aged at all. "Ah, that's the upside of being an ever-after," Puck said. "You only get as old as you want to be. Some decided to age a little so that they could get jobs and junk like that."
"Then why didn't you?" Sabrina asked.
Puck shrugged. "Never crossed my mind. I plan on staying a boy until the sun burns out." Sabrina thought that she'd like to see him running around in the dark as the earth froze over. She bit into her sandwich, only to discover that the Swiss cheese tasted more like hard applesauce. "So, tell me what happened with the giant," said Puck. While Sabrina ate, Daphne told the boy the whole sordid mess. She told him about the farmhouse that had been stepped on by the giant, and how Mayor Charming had demanded that Granny Relda give up her detective work, how the farmer had spoken to a man named Mr. Englishman, and how a witch had erased the farmer's memory. She told about the gang of thugs that had attacked them outside of the hospital, and how, when they had followed the gang back to a cabin, they had spotted Charming again. Then she told him about the giant's attack, how he had killed the thugs, and how he had snatched up Granny and Mr. Canis. Sabrina got up from her chair and went into the living room, where she stood in front of one of the many bookshelves. "Books on giants, where would they be?" she said to herself. Puck and Daphne got up to join her, and together they scanned the bookcases. "Look," Daphne said. Sabrina looked closely at the shelves Daphne was pointing to. They seemed to hold a collection of diaries. She took one down and read the title. Fairy Tale Accounts, 1942 to 1965, by Edwin Alvin Grimm.
"There's a book here for everyone in our family, I guess, including this one," said Daphne, as she pulled one from the shelf and handed it to her sister.
Sabrina almost dropped it when she eyed the title. Fairy Tale Accounts by Henry Grimm. It was a book written by their father. She flipped through it, recognizing her dad's neat handwriting. She ran a finger along the short circles his words made, tracing his hand's movement from when he had put the words on paper. She turned more pages, feeling more of him in his words, not bothering to read, just taking comfort in knowing that he had once held the book.
"Let me see," Daphne said, as she snatched the book from her sister's hands.
"You're wasting your time with these stupid books. I'm the smartest person I know, and I've never read a book in my life. We should all be out looking," Puck said.
"If you want to go, there's nothing keeping you here," Sabrina said, as she snatched her father's book back from Daphne.
The two girls rushed to the dining room table and hovered over the slightly dusty journal. They flipped to the first page. A color photograph of Mayor Charming, dressed in royal gowns of purple and white silk, stared back at them. He wore a sapphire and diamond crown and a dazzling ruby ring on each finger. He smiled smugly, as if he thought very highly of himself. Elvis sauntered into the room and licked Sabrina's hand. He spied Charming's picture and growled.
"Don't worry, Elvis. He can't get us now," Daphne said.
Sabrina read aloud what her father had written. July. Today we had another encounter with Charming. Mom and Dad discovered that he was attempting to buy 1,000 acres of land on the eastern border of the town known as Old MacDonald's Farm. Where he got the money for such a big purchase came into question, and Dad, of course, accused him of using his witches to conjure up phony cash. Charming huffed and demanded an apology. When Dad refused, the two of them got into a fist fight, which Charming got the worst of. Dad has one heck of a left hook. Ka-pow! But the biggest surprise was Charming's freak out. He swore he'd turn Fairyport Landing into his kingdom again, and he looked forward to the day when he could personally drive a bulldozer through our house.
"He's rebuilding his kingdom," Sabrina said as she flipped to the next page.
There she found more interesting facts.
"It's all in here. Listen to this. December.
Charming had given up the most when he moved to America, He was forced to sell his castle, his horses, and everything he owned. One of the three ships Wilhelm had hired for the Atlantic crossing was used primarily to haul Charming's enormous fortune. The ship hit a sandbar off the coast of Maryland and sank, taking Charming's wealth to the bottom of the ocean. When he got to Ferryport Landing, changed from Fairyport Landing in 1910, he blew what was left on one bad investment after another. A failed diamond mine partnership with the Seven Dwarfs, a wholesale carpet company poorly managed by his business partner, Ali Baba, and a company that went bankrupt manufacturing something called a laser disc player. Being mayor doesn't pay much, and Dad believes that Charming runs a bunch of financial scams, both illegal and magical, just to keep the electricity on at the mayoral estate. That was until he came up with the greatest and most recent scam, the Ferryport Landing Fundraising Ball. Once a year, Charming invites the ever-after community to the mansion, and every year they throw money at him, trying to win his support for whatever political cause they have. The money obviously goes straight into the prince's pocket. I'd bet anything that Charming is storing most of the money so that he can buy up the whole town and run it like his old kingdom. But what's that got to do with giants? And if he wanted to buy the farm, why did he send that Mr. Englishman to do the work? Daphne asked. I believe that Mr. Englishman and Mayor Charming are the same person. Charming does have an English accent. He could have worn a disguise so Mr. Appleby wouldn't recognize him as the mayor, Sabrina said. I bet you're right, her sister said. But where does the giant come in? Sabrina wondered aloud. In the old days, giants and people used to work together all the time, Puck said, stealing the purple apple from Sabrina's plate and chomping on it. They did? Oh, yeah, giants are pretty dumb, the boy said. From what I hear, you can pretty much talk them into anything. He's right. Daphne was poring over a large book entitled Anatomy of a Giant. I don't know what this word is, she said. How is it spelled? A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E-S. It's alliances. It means to team up or join a group, Sabrina explained. It says that in olden days, people used to form alliances. Alliances with giants to destroy their enemies. People found that giants were very dumb and could be easily tricked. Charming's using the giant to scare people off their land. Anyone that won't sell gets squashed, Sabrina cried. But you said he used Glinda to erase the farmer's mind, right? Puck interrupted. Yes. Well, why would he do that? Why would he want the farmer to forget to be afraid? And don't forget the lens cap, Daphne added. If he were trying to scare them off, why would he want to videotape it? I don't think I'd want any proof of what I'd done if it were me. Sabrina didn't have any more answers. Let me finish, her sister said, looking down at the book. It also says that rarely do these alliances. Yeah, it says they usually backfire. In most cases, the human was eaten by the giant or dragged off to the giant kingdom to be a slave. There's a story here about a giant kidnapping a princess for an evil baron, and before the baron could collect a ransom from her family, the giant ate her, Daphne said quietly. It says the town people used hound dogs to track down the giant because giants have a strong smell. When they caught him, he nearly killed the entire town before they could bring him down. The girls spent a moment looking into each other's worried eyes. What if the giant had eaten Granny and Mr. Canis? What if he was eating them as they wasted time doing research? It says when giants got out of hand, the townspeople sent a hero to kill the giant for them, Daphne read. His name was Jack, and in his prime he killed more than 10 giants, stole treasure from the giant kingdom, and was world famous. Sabrina turned her attention back to her father's journal. She flipped through more of its pages until she found an envelope stuffed inside. What's this? She wondered aloud. Daphne got up from her chair and walked around the table to look. It says, "To Sabrina, Daphne, and Puck, from Granny Rerelda," Sabrina said.
"See, I told you I knew her," Puck cried.
"Read it," Daphne begged. Sabrina tore open the letter and began to read.
"Lieblings, if you're reading this, then one of my investigations has not turned out the way I had hoped. I don't want you to worry, as I am very experienced with all kinds of things and can take care of myself, and I know a little kung fu. If, for some reason, I am unable to be there and you need my help, you should take my keys and enter the room you have been forbidden to enter. All the answers you need will be staring you in the face. Love, Granny Rerelda. P.S. Don't give Elvis any sausage. It makes him gassy."
"She wants us to go into the room?" Puck said in amazement. "I've been trying to get in there since the day she told me it was off limits."
"Cool. That's where she got that giant detector she used at the farm," Daphne cried. "I bet the place is filled to the ceiling with stuff we can use to rescue them."
"Staring us in the face? What does that mean?" Sabrina said.
But before she knew it, her little sister was halfway up the stairs with the key ring in her hand.
"Wait up!"
Sabrina shouted, taking the stairs two at a time. By the time she got to the top, Daphne was already trying keys.
"I bet she's got a shrink ray in here. We'll shrink him down to the size of an ant and stomp on him,"
the younger girl said.
"Hurry," Sabrina said.
Puck flew up the stairs and grabbed the keys out of Daphne's hands.
"Royalty first, peasant." "She gave these keys to us," Sabrina snapped, snatching the keys from him.
"A set of keys you have no idea how to use," Puck shouted, taking them back.
"Puck, give me those keys."
"No!"
"Listen, Puck, don't make me do something you're going to regret."
"I've fought tougher guys than you, Grim, though most of them had better smelling breath." "What is going on out there?"
A voice suddenly boomed from behind the door.
It startled them all so much that they fell backward onto the floor.
"Did you hear that?" Daphne whispered.
"Everyone heard that," Sabrina and Puck replied.
"Knock off that racket right now!" the voice shouted angrily.
"Maybe it's the sheriff? Maybe he got into the house somehow?" Daphne whispered.
"Hampstead would have just come down and grabbed us," her sister said.
"Besides, Elvis isn't freaking out."
"Then who is it?"
Puck said.
"Granny locks that door for a reason. If there's someone in that room, Granny doesn't want them going anywhere. They might be dangerous," Sabrina warned.
"I'm not afraid," the boy cried.
"I have an idea," Daphne said.
She took Puck and Sabrina's hands and led them back down the stairs and into the kitchen. Within minutes, the girls and Puck were standing at the bottom of the stairs again. Each was wearing a metal spaghetti strainer as a mighty battle helmet. Daphne wore an ancient washing board on her chest and had duct-taped huge metal spoons to each kneecap as protection from unfair kicks. She held a frying pan as her weapon. Sabrina had a pressure cooker lid taped to her behind. She held a wok pan for a shield and a rolling pin for a club. She swung it, preparing to whack whomever might be on the other side of the door. Puck had his trusty sword in one hand and a carrot peeler in the other. He'd found a couple of cookie pans to tape to his chest and back, and his feet were encased in oven mitts. The big dog stood behind them with an odd, confused expression.
"We should send Elvis up first," Sabrina said.
"Good idea," Daphne replied. Sabrina turned to the Great Dane.
"Elvis, there's someone upstairs. Go get him."
Elvis sat down on his hind legs and used his back paw to scratch his neck. If he understood the order, he wasn't letting on.
Discouraged, Sabrina turned back to her sister and Puck. "We'll go together and sneak up on him."
They nodded in agreement, and all three took the first step up the stairs. Their armor clanged and knocked around, causing a tremendous racket. By the time they got to the top of the steps, Sabrina realized that a sneak attack was probably no longer realistic, so she went with Plan B.
"Whoever is up there better leave, 'cause we're armed to the teeth. I wouldn't want to be you when we find you, Sabrina shouted. Her threat was met with silence.
Maybe he's gone, Daphne said hopefully.
I say we bust the door down and skin him alive, Puck said loudly.
There's going to be no skinning of anyone, Sabrina said as she fumbled in her pocket and pulled out the key ring. She started the tedious work of finding the right key, and soon one went in the lock and clicked.
Just stay together, and most of all, stay calm. If we don't panic, we can take this guy ourselves, Sabrina said. On three, Daphne whispered, giving her frying pan a practice swing.
One, two, three,
Sabrina screamed, pushing the door open and rushing into the room. The trio swung their weapons frantically, slashing at whatever enemy dared to face their deadly kitchen utensils. After several minutes and zero deadly hits, Sabrina stopped and looked around the room. In the moonlight from the single window, she could see it was empty, except for a wood-framed, full-length mirror that hung on a wall. Puck, who was lying on the floor laughing hysterically, roared, "Stay calm, you say?"
"Where did he go?"
Daphne said, as she peered behind the door and found no one.
"Maybe we imagined it," Sabrina said, scowling at the boys' laughter. "Come on, let's get back to work."
She turned to leave, but Daphne said,
"Granny's note said that all the answers we need would stare us in the face."
She pointed at the mirror.
"It's just a mirror," her sister argued.
"It can't hurt to take a look," Puck said, and trotted over to it.
Sabrina switched on the room light and reluctantly joined him, followed by Daphne, and together they looked at their reflection.
"I think I see something," Daphne said.
"What? What is it?"
"A booger. It's in your nose."
The little girl laughed.
"Gotcha again."
Puck laughed so hard he snorted, but then saw Sabrina staring and stopped abruptly.
"Who are you?"
A loud voice suddenly bellowed from within the mirror. Sabrina looked into its reflection and felt the hairs on the back of her neck stand on end. A face was staring out at her, but it was not her own. Floating without a body, the face was that of a man with a bald head and thick, angular features. He stared at the children with eyes like blue flames flickering a mixture of rage and disgust, as if the children were rodents found munching on the turkey during Christmas dinner. Terrified, the children ran back toward the door, but a blue ray shot from the mirror, hit the door, and slammed it shut, trapping them inside.
"Who are you?" the head bellowed. "Tell me now, or I will kill you where you stand."